Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 15 and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, for the testimony we heard tonight. And Lord, that you would be high and lifted up. But Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Now is the Time to Repent. Now is the time to repent. And when I say now is the time to repent, this has been proclaimed for over 2,000 years now. And so when John the Baptist came on the scene, his ministry was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then when he passed the baton to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he said, I must decrease while he increases, the message never changed. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so then, as he was crucified, buried, and he rose again, and then he walked amongst his disciples, and over 500 witnessed his resurrection. One of the things before he went to be with his Father, he said, I give you instructions and follow them to a T. And so the apostles then picked up the baton and started following after the Holy Spirit. Because he said, as I go away, I'll send you the Comforter. And so when the Comforter came, the one that preached with boldness was Peter. Old scaredy cat Peter. And he's the one that ran away three times, huh? We know that in Scripture. Even a little girl said, hey, I know you. You were with Jesus. And he had to say, no, that was not me. But when the Holy Ghost came and it was poured out, he had boldness. And so he even said, repent, repent, repent. So I'm saying all that to say this, is that over 2,000 years, God is still calling people to repent. To repent. And the only way that anyone will receive eternal salvation is through a heart of repentance. It's not how long you attend church. It's not because I'm a friend of Christians or I come on Sunday. No, it's about entering in a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a heart change from within. Can I get an amen? And so this was the theme during the time of the verses that we're going to read. So let's start with verse 9 through 15. And then we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to have his way. Amen. So verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Verse 10. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit. Notice it's capital S. The Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Verse 11. Then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 12. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Man, that's a key verse that we're going to kind of emphasize tonight. Verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days. Tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. Another key verse of Scripture right there. Verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And then we're going to look at verse 15, the final verse tonight. And saying, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? It's called the good news. Listen, Repenting is not a bad word. I mean, remember how we used to grow up and we used to hear older people use certain words, and then we were just monkey see, monkey do, and we said those things as we grew up, and those were bad and vulgar words. But it seems like the unbelieving world looks at the word repent, and it's almost like a vulgar word to them. But it's not. It's God's grace saying, you want eternal salvation? Then turn your heart toward me. Make an about face and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Amen? And so let's go back to verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And so, saints, the coming one was identified as the Lord Jesus Christ. And although born in Bethlehem, Jesus moved to Nazareth when he was a young boy and grew up there. Why did he grow up there? Because, you got to remember, he had to flee to Egypt because there was a decree given by Herod to kill the firstborn, the first male. Why? Because it was a threat. When the wise men said, look at the star of Bethlehem, and that there would be a king born in Bethlehem. And so that frazzled the king. The king said, no one's going to take my throne. And so he went after and he slaughtered the firstborn, and they had to flee. The Holy Ghost came. The Spirit of God, an angel came to Joseph and Mary and says, flee. So when they came back, instead of coming back to Bethlehem, they went to Nazareth. And you've heard that saying before. What good thing could come from Nazareth? Yeah, why do they use National City? What good thing comes out of it? Come on, I grew up there. Ain't nothing wrong with National City. Matter of fact, I'm not ashamed where I grew up. Come on. I grew up in a 3-bedroom, 1-bath home with 11 brothers and sisters and all kinds of animals. That's right. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And when I used to date some girls that had cars, just drop me off down the block. And so we see here that, and even in Matthew, look at this, in Matthew, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside to the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Amen? And so the city was despised and avoided by many Jews because it had a reputation for being independent. Nazareth was an unlikely hometown for so great a king as Jesus. Yet even Jesus' hometown demonstrated his humility and identification with just ordinary people. Now look at this. If John's baptism was for repentance from sin, why was Jesus baptized? Why was he baptized? Did he need to be baptized? He was the Son of God. Well, while even the greatest prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, had to confess their sinfulness and need for repentance, right? They did. Jesus didn't have to admit about having any sin because he was sinless. And so we understand he was baptized as obedient to his Father. And he wanted to show a way and demonstrate to the future disciples that I am going to continue the ministry that John the Baptist proclaimed. Did you know that John the Baptist, according to Jesus, that he was the greatest prophet to ever live? And so, Jesus was sinless. Sinless. Look what it says right here in John. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? You know why the religious leaders had a problem with Jesus? Is because they had no clue that he came from above. And all they saw in the natural, aren't you the one whose father is a carpenter? and that you worked with your father, they had no clue on what took place 30 years prior to that, where the Holy Spirit overshadowed who? Mary, his mother. And she was conceived by the Holy Ghost. You see, they had no clue that took place. And so, we see this in 2 Corinthians. He who made him knew no sin became sin for us. See, if Jesus had sinned, guess what? Your sin and my sin still remains. But by faith, you need to believe tonight, even though you walked in, even though maybe you had some lustful thoughts in the morning, or maybe you said something you shouldn't have said, maybe you said a white lie, all these things we know because we have a sinful nature. But Jesus didn't have that issue. Aren't you so blessed? He had no vile. He had no animosity. He had nothing, no lust in his heart like we carry it. This body of flesh still carries it. Did you know that? That's why Paul said that now that I'm a Christian and now that I'm born again, there's a war in my members. What's the war? The war in his members is the things that he wants to do. God is saying, you don't have to do that. So now there's what a struggle. How many of you struggled with God when you first got saved or even still struggling today? Oh, come on. There's no one that's perfect. No, not one. We've all had thoughts. We've all had these things that come our way. Amen. Paul was the first one to confess those things. But Jesus had to come, who was sinless, to what? To take away the sins of the world. So your sin, my sin, was nailed to the cross. Hallelujah, by faith. And that's why you have to walk in faith, knowing that every day that you wake up, when God looks down, all he sees is the blood. All he sees is the blood. He doesn't see you as a sinner anymore. Why? Because throughout the epistles, Paul, he says, to the saints of God, to the saints of God. And no matter where he goes, it's always addressing to the saints of God. Show me where he says, and to the sinners, I greet you. Nowhere. Please, if you could find that where he says, he greets the sinners, I'll sign over my house to you tonight. That's how I know for a fact in the Word of God that Paul doesn't greet you that way. He greets to the saints of God. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he knows that if you're a true born-again believer, washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Spirit, he has washed away your sins, past, present, and future. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed to know that? Don't let the devil just continue to condemn you. Our own heart will condemn us. This is why you need the Word of God. This is why I'm so blessed you come out. Why? Because you hear the Word of God, and God's Word is true. And last week we saw and we read that the plans that he has for us are good and not evil. Can I get an amen? God thinks the best of you, not the worst of you. I'm so blessed he doesn't think the worst of us. Can I get an amen? Even though we look in the mirror and, man, oh my gosh. We serve a mighty God. How many know we serve a mighty God? And so Jesus had to come sinless. Why? Because it says right up in here in Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without what? Sin. He was tempted. And we're going to read that when he was baptized, he was driven out to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil himself. Man, that's a true test. You know what's one of the hardest tests for young Christians? Is the enemy's going to come like a flood. And he's going to bring up all the things in your past. He's just going to bring people that I thought they were out of my life. And all of a sudden, they come out of nowhere. Why? Because God will always test us. Can I get amen? And man, if you fail the test, guess what? You're taking that test again. Maybe not right then, but you'll end up taking that test again. And so we know that yet without sin, Christ came to do what? Let me ask, what did he come to take away?
Our sins,
right up here. Look at what it says in the Word. And you know that he was manifested to what? To take away our what? Sins. In him there is, why? Because there is no sin in him. So he can only take away your sin, not no one else. You can't go to a priest. I'm sorry, but you can't go to a nun. You can't go to an elder. You can't go to a pastor. You can't go to your mom and dad. You can't go to your friend. You can't go to your coworker. You could only go to Jesus. Can I get an amen? Why? And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does what? Does not what? Now, how does that work? Come on. Some of us woke up this morning, man, with some bad thoughts. And how many times we go, oh, God, cleanse me. Lord, wash me. Oh, man. How many of us just said something wrong to somebody? And we shouldn't have said that. Or having covetous, well, man, I wish it was me that won that $535
million.
Huh? Look, we covet. We do all these things, don't we? But it says right here, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. So in God's perception of you and me, he doesn't see sin no more. All he sees is the blood. Because the blood is the only thing that can eradicate your sin. It's the blood of Jesus. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Okay. What does that mean? Wait, it just says that whoever abides in him does not sin, but whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. These are folks that have no relationship with God. They've never been born of God. They've never been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and they're still in their unbelieving state. Okay, you didn't register that one, huh? Let's go on. And so, saints, although Jesus didn't need forgiveness, he was baptized for the following reasons. Number one, to confess sin on behalf of the nation. That the whole nation during that time was very sinful. How many times did they destroy the temple? How many times did the religious leaders went to the far left? Sounds like, I don't know. Is this a reoccurring thing? But those religious leaders sent the whole nation basically to be destroyed. And when a nation forgets God, God destroys that nation. It does. Listen, we're not out of the water yet. I hope you know that. When America has aborted 60 million, when every state now can marry same sex, when transgenders now are having their right in all 50 states with that third bathroom, we are in big trouble. And guess what? The second most grievous sin in our nation, second, I'm talking, and when I mean that, the most money-making grievous sin. We think abortion, we think that. The first one is drug trafficking, but what's the second? It is slave trafficking. It's a $1.9 billion industry in America. This is why you that have grandbabies and daughter, man, watch your children closely. Don't take your eyes off of them. Why? Because there's some corrupt people up there abducting them left and right. Guard them with all your heart. Can I get an amen? Amen. And pray. Pray that God will put a hedge of protection over your home. And wherever you go, that angels will encamp around you. Because we live now in a wicked society. Oh, yes, it is. And so the prophets prophesied. And Jesus had to come. And he had to confess their sin. Look what Isaiah says right up here. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah prophesied that these people in his midst had unclean lips. Did you know how many inches is heaven and hell? How many inches is it? We think it's, wow, eternity. Wow, it's maybe it's in the second or third heaven. How far away is heaven to hell? Okay, it's 18 inches from your heart to your mouth. Because when the heart repents, then the mouth will confess him. Can I get an amen on that? But when the heart remains just callous and will not surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, as soon as that last breath is taken, it slips right into hell, where the worm dieth not. And there's eternal torment. Oh, yeah, but, you know, there's churches that won't talk about hell no more. Well, I don't want to offend no one. Listen, if it was just Sister Yolanda here and I'm speaking to her, guess what? That's who God wants us to know about it. Can I get an amen? It's a real place. It's a real place. Look what Nehemiah says here. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. So Jesus is trying to make a point here that the nation had sinned. This is why John the Baptist was crying out to that generation, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came so that you and I can be saved 2,000 years later. John the Baptist couldn't do that. So John the Baptist paved the way for his cousin to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in Ezra. For they have taken some of their daughters and wives for themselves and their sons, so that the holy seed is mixed with the peoples of those lands. Indeed, the hand of the leaders and rulers had been foremost in this trespass. It was corrupt, and God had to do a house cleaning. You ever cleaned up your house and you found so much junk that you never thought that was there? Or do we just sweep everything under the carpet? Number two, to fulfill all righteousness in order to accomplish God's mission and advance God's work in the world. Jesus had to demonstrate obedience. That's why he got baptized. Look what Matthew 3:15 says. But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So it was the righteousness of Christ that he came to get baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. What a blessing. Also, number three, to inaugurate his public ministry to bring the message of salvation to all people. You got to remember, the baton was passed from John to Jesus. So Jesus, right then and there, from that moment on, for 3.5 years, he was ministering to the people. And what was the theme? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Also, to show support for John's ministry. Jesus didn't come to say, well, you know what, I'm the big cheese now. You need to shove over now. No, he came in humility. When his cousin John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who comes and takes away the sins of the world." How many are so blessed to know that? If it wasn't for Jesus to come, you and I would be men and women most miserable. We would have no hope. We would have no hope. And another point is to give us an example to follow. Jesus was a perfect example. How many would rather follow his example than anyone on earth? Come on, I'd rather follow Jesus. Why? Because he was the perfect one. Jesus, the perfect man, didn't need baptism for sin, but he accepted baptism in obedience, service to the Father, and God showed his approval. We need this same attitude of humility. Can I get an amen, saints? Submission to God and dedicated to servanthood. So now let's go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 10. And it says, "And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove." Man, I'm telling you, when you give your heart to the Lord, the Holy Ghost will come just like that. He'll come upon you so gently, and then all of a sudden, bam. It's like this. Just picture this. You put your hand in your pocket, and let's just say it's empty. There's nothing in your pocket, and you're moving your hand around, and then you take your hand out, and then you go back in your pocket, and where did this $100 bill come from? It just appeared like it. Where did it come from? I know I didn't have $100, but yet it's in my pocket. You know, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, bam, man, it's upon you. And you're going, where did this come from? And then from that moment on, God gives you exceedingly joy. How many would rather be filled with joy than walking around like this, like you ate and drank some prune juice? You ever see people, man, that just, they need a dose of the Holy Ghost. They do. They need to be filled with His presence. Man, God comes to bring you joy unspeakable. Listen, if you never experienced God, guess what? Today's your night. You can ask Him to come in and fill your heart like a flood. Man, and He will fill your whole cup that it overflows. And so, saints, apparently the action of the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove was a sign for John that Jesus was the Messiah. The splitting of the heavens presents God's intervention into humanity in the human presence of God in Jesus Christ. It was as if the heavens rolled back to reveal the invisible throne of God. Man, isn't that something? I remember when I got filled with the Spirit of God. Man, I'm telling you, the corners of my mouth just went boom. And they were pinned to my ears. And man, I'm serious. This is the only way that I can describe it. I can't describe it no other way. And many have described the same thing, that got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was like my eyes inside were looking through someone else inside me. And that person inside me was smiling for me. I was like, wow, this is like, whoa. I had no clue. It was the Holy Ghost living inside me now. And He was filling me with so much joy. I remember what God had to deliver me from. And I truly believe that He filled me with tremendous joy and anointing from God, because the things I was addicted to, He had to show me this is much better than that. I was addicted to what? To crystal meth and smoking weed and drinking and all that junk. And He filled me with this power. He filled me with this presence. And oh my gosh, I couldn't even contain it. There were times where I say, oh God, man, I'm about to explode. I know it's hard to fathom that thought. But man, when He comes upon you and he just wants to ignite your soul, man, I'm telling you, it's like heavenly bliss. There's nothing that can rival it. There's nothing that can compare it here on earth. I don't care what sensation, I don't care what satisfaction you ever had in the human realm, it will never compare to when you're born again from above. And so it was as if the heavens rolled back to reveal the invisible throne of God. Look what Isaiah says up here. The consuming fire of your glory would burn down the forest and boil the oceans dry. The nations would tremble before you. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. Listen, when Jesus came on the scene, let me tell you, he came now to clean up house. And let me just say this. When God is living inside you, and it's almost like a consuming fire within you, things in your life start getting cleaned up. It don't happen overnight. But man, he puts it in you to start cleaning up things in your life. And I'm so blessed that only he can do that. I can preach to someone until I'm blue in my face. And they're not budging anywhere unless God moves on their heart. And so the dove is used as a symbol for the Holy Spirit. However, saints, it is not the bird itself that was important, but the descent of the Spirit like a dove to emphasize the way the Holy Spirit related to Jesus. It came gently upon him. The Spirit descending portrays a gentle, peaceful, but active presence coming to indwell the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the same way, since Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, he is available to us as well. Aren't you so blessed that it didn't quit then? It's still active today. How many of you can honestly say, I've experienced the Holy Spirit living in me? Oh, yeah, come on. Come on. Listen, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here unless God just drew you here and now God is drawing you to be saved. But for a Bible study on a Wednesday night, you're here because God is alive and well in your soul. We sung that song by Mercy Me. It is well in my soul. It is well. I don't care what your physical body's doing right now, but it is well in my soul. Can I get amen? Come what may. Hey, this flesh is temporary. It's here a moment and then it's gone. But our soul is eternal. And we will live with Jesus forever. Aren't you so blessed to know that? All right, let's go back to verse 11 in Mark chapter 1. Then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Let me ask you this. Can God say that of you? Huh? Tonight. Listen, if you're born again, filled with his Spirit, that's all he's ever going to say to you. I just exhorted us just moments ago that he sees the blood now. God sees the blood upon us, and our sins have been eradicated. And let me just say this. He did not make a mistake when he created you. You are perfect in his sight. Yes, you are. You may wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and man. But to God, you're perfect in his sight. I don't care what other people think of you. I don't care whatever people say about you. And it doesn't matter what you think of yourself. God looks at you as a perfect creation in his sight. Because he doesn't make junk. Can I get amen? He doesn't make junk. You're not an accident. You're not a coincidence. There's purpose in your life. And you have a destiny with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God's going to show you his glory. And so the Holy Spirit descended and a voice came from heaven proclaiming the Father's approval of Jesus as his divine son. That Jesus is God's divine son is the foundation for all we read about Jesus in the Gospels. Did you know that? He's the cornerstone. This voice came from the heavenly realm that had been briefly split wide open. Did you know when Jesus comes again, the heavens are going to split wide open? They're going to roll back, and we're going to see him. And he's going to say, come up, and King James, come up thy hither, meaning with the blast of the archangel and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with him. How many of you can't wait to be caught up with the Lord? Man, I'm telling you, these days are coming sooner than you think. The end times are here. I hope you know that. Come on. Everything that Jesus said that would happen in Matthew 24 are happening right now. Earthquakes, volcanoes, signs in the heavens. Come on. The turmoil across the world, the chaos in our nation. And then the remedial judgments. Did you know that there's remedial judgments? Look at all the fires taking place. Look at all the floods that are taking place. Look at last week, there was a whole neighborhood demolished by tornadoes. This is our nation. We're living in the last days. We are. And I'm going to preach that until my last breath, because once I take my last breath, then it's confirmed. That was my last day. Right? I can't go wrong. I can't go wrong. It'll be my last day. It'll be your last day when that's it. Come up hither. And we'll be in his presence forevermore. Man, I can't wait. And so, what the voice said when the heavens parted was, you are my beloved son. Say this with me. You are my beloved God. Jesus, you are my beloved God. That's right. Because he is. Jesus Christ has a unique relationship with God because he is God's one and only son. He's not Satan's brother. He's not an angel. You don't believe who comes knocking on your door Saturday mornings. And by the way, if you want to get rid of them gently and politely, you don't have to say, well, come on, let me show me what that says that, and I'll show you what my Bible says. You don't have to do that. Open the door, say, come on in, and let's go before the Lord, and let's pray for the Holy Spirit to give us illumination. They will run with an about face. See ya, I'm going next door. They are told not to pray with you. You know why? Because they don't believe the Holy Spirit exists. And they believe that you're calling upon a demon. So they have brainwashed these folks. They will hightail and be gone. When a couple came and I asked, let's pray. And, well, thank you. You know, it's okay. Man, I want her to just run out and just lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. Hey, they're on my property. They came to my door. They're not on the sidewalk yet. I think I might do that next time. I don't know. Pray for me that God will give me boldness like that. Amen. Well, the open heavens, the dove and the voice revealed to John the Baptist that Jesus was God's son who has come to earth and has promised the Messiah to fulfill prophecy and bring salvation to whoever believes. Isn't that something? All we need to have is the faith the size of a mustard seed and God will save us. He doesn't make it hard. It's not rocket scientist material. Come on, you don't need a GED. You don't have to be a college graduate. You don't have to graduate with all these scholars and be in the valedictorian class. All you need to do is have faith, and God will save you. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? You see, the scriptures speak throughout the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the triune God. All three are God. Hallelujah. Because Jesus was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, sing amongst angels, and then he was received up in glory. Man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of it, it's a mystery. Yeah, I know there's some churches, well, I'm not going to fellowship with you because I'm a oneness guy. No, I'm not going to fellowship with you because I'm a Trinity guy. Listen, you're splitting hairs. God will reveal it to you when you see him face to face. Can I get an amen? It's not so much, I need to figure this out. No, it's about walking in faith and walking in joy and winning others to Christ. Can I get an amen? That's what it's all about. But man, you got all these doctrines that they'll just try to split you up. Well, we don't fellowship with them. And so there are so many references like this. For instance, in Luke, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. It took the Holy Spirit to do that marvelous and wonderful work. And then Jesus prophesied that when he goes away, he's sending what? The helper. Look at this. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. You see, this is what came on the Lord Jesus when he was in the water and he came up. The Spirit of God came upon him. Why did he come upon him? I asked this question. So he can just feel joy? To do the work of the ministry. That's what the power and the presence from God. Listen, when we get saved, he has commissioned us now to go and tell everyone about Jesus. Let everyone know that your sins can be washed and cleansed. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. And look, how many believe that God chose you? Or do you think you chose him? And once we understand that we've been chosen by God, then we go into a category called the election of God. And how many believe that God has elected you? Come on. He's elected you. Did you know that? It's in the Word. It's right up here. Look at this. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be what? Multiplied. We're part of the election. And we had no clue when we was out there sinning like the devil. None of us had that clue, huh? Man, if you would have told me 35 years ago that one day you're going to be a pastor, I would have said, man, what kind of weed are you smoking? And yet, in God's foreknowledge, he already saw 35 years down the road. Guess what? He saw you. He saw you. Even in the middle, in the midst of your sin, he said, nah, you know what? I have a plan for them. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for him, and I have a plan for her. And I'm going to do a mighty thing in their life. And guess what? Jesus says, I'm going to get all the glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that he gets all the glory? Jesus gets all the glory. He didn't leave you in your dirty diaper. He didn't. Matter of fact, he changed your diaper. And he did a thorough cleansing. Thank you, God. I'm so blessed to be a child of God. Aren't you so blessed? Yes. We're teaching our granddaughter how to potty train. And man, that's the toughest task. But you know, I just saw just in her innocent state of being three and trying to teach her things, you know, so that she could learn. I saw myself. Oh, no different from that. Oh, yeah. We all had to be taught. And guess what? God is teaching us day by day. Can I get an amen? He's teaching us how to live this life. We can't live this life without Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. We saw that last week. And so let's look at verse 12 in Mark chapter 1. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, this is key. Why does the Word of God says drove him? I mean, was it like that? He needed to be pushed? Did he need to be pulled? Saints, Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, takes the offense against the enemy, Satan, by going into the lonely, desolate wilderness to fight temptation. One of the things that happened to me, I can't speak for anybody else, but when I first got saved, He immediately started sanctifying me. All the people that I used to hang with, I didn't want to talk to them no more. The old drug dealers would come up. Hey, Zin, Carlos. He was looking for his money. I said, God, I don't want to do nothing with. I don't want this life no more. You showed me this was wicked and evil. I don't want this. And you know what? By the grace of God, I never saw this guy again. I'm praying one of three things happened. He either got saved, he either got deported, or I don't know, the third one. You know the third one. But I wasn't wishing no harm. I said, God, I just don't want him around my life no more. Because when God does a beautiful thing in you, it's like you don't want what He has given you to be contaminated anymore. Can I get an amen? You honor you. It's like you're holding on to treasure now. And God gives you that mind to do that. And so the word for compelled is very forceful in the Greek, conveying the meaning of being thrown out, being cast out. So that was a true compelling word when he was driven out. It was in the Greek, it was forceful. God forced him out there. Not that he didn't want to go, but immediately he sent him out there. How come he didn't send him into the synagogue right away? How come he didn't put him amongst the people to be healed? No, he had to be tested by Satan himself. Wow. You know how he passed the test? Because the devil found out that there was no sin in him. Because what did Jesus use in the wilderness? Did he take a bat? Huh? Did he have a machete? Did he have an N16? No, he used the word. Thou shalt not. Hallelujah, tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus came with authority. He was a man's man and a lady's man too. Yes, he is. He's all in all. He's our everything. And Mark used the same word to describe Jesus driving, like, just like he was driven out to the wilderness. God used that same Greek word to drive out demons when he came back. And for some of us, I really believe, I can speak for me, I can't speak for you. But when God gave me a heart to repent, he drove the devil out of me. Oh, yes, he did. Listen, only Satan can influence a man or a woman to do some things that are considered debauchery. Very sinful. Having a sinful mind and listen, let me just say this. Those who get intoxicated, those who choose to smoke weed and all these things, you're opening up your soul and having demons come in. And it's no longer you no more. For some get violent and they're filled with rage and all they want to do is destroy. Why? Because that's the nature of the devil. It's not the nature of God. when Jesus comes in, man, it's so lovey-dovey, man. You know, and God gives you even a heart to forgive someone. No matter what kind of harm or things they've said about you, you'll forgive them. So, man, don't even sweat it. There's nothing between you and I. It's under the blood now. We serve a mighty God, amen? We go back to verse 13 in Mark chapter 1. And it says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Guess what was out there? There was cougars, and there was bobcats, there was snakes, scorpions. Man, we couldn't even handle this last Israel trip. We were in the wilderness for one night. And you know what came to my mind? Sister Yolanda, she could attest to this. I'm not sleeping in that tent. I don't want to wake up and there's something crawling on me. Or something withering underneath my blanket. We were in the wilderness. I'm talking, you couldn't see anything that was living around. It was all desert. And a little tiny oasis in the midst of it. Huh, sister, can you attest? Come on. We had some fun in the daytime riding the camels. At night, I was like interceding, God, there's got to be a better way. I don't want to sleep on that folded blanket on the ground. And 50 people had to share one tent. There was like 7 or 8 tents with 50 people in them. Now, I don't want to go there of things that you will hear at night. I needed my privacy. And guess what? Me and Sister Delana, we were sitting kind of like at the entrance on this bench, and I was just saying, God, make a way, Lord. There's got to be another way, right, God? I'm not sleeping in there. This guy who, and God, forgive me, because this guy used to always want to talk over Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. It was the tour guide in their bus. And everywhere we went, he would just rattle and rattle. I go, we didn't come to hear you. We came to hear Jonathan Kahn. But God used that man who I was like, Lord. He came up to us. He goes, what are you guys here for? I go, we're hoping that one of those little houses would open up. Because we don't want to sleep in the tent. He goes, oh, wait a minute. He wouldn't speak to a guy named Shalom. Came back. Oh, Shalom has a room for you. Just go ahead. Oh, wow. I said, what? Man, I was singing hallelujah that whole night. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I was on a bed. Man, had electricity. It had running water. Had all that. I was not going to lay in a bed with a scorpion coming in to visit me at night. Thank you, Jesus. We were in the wilderness. Wilderness. The wilderness. And so, Satan is an angel who rebelled against God. We know that, right? And God, we all know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is real in our life. But you know that ugly foe who we call Satan, he's real too. He's not symbolic. He's not a figment of your imagination. He's a real spirit entity. And he is constantly working against God and those who obey him. So the more you obey the Lord, the more he will come and buffet you. But if you're living a life of disobedience, they're doing what I want them to do. Satan tempted Eve in the garden and persuaded her to sin. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness and did not persuade him. Constantly was persuading him to fall. Listen, he told Jesus, you can have any one of these cities if you bow down. And little did that evil angel know that it was not his to give. You need to understand that. This world that we live in, even though Satan is running amok right now, he's going to have his heyday in hell when he gets cast into the lake of fire. But he doesn't own this place. Can I get an amen? Amen. And once humanity goes through this final test, because you know, our life is a full test. I'm looking at it, this is a test. Whether you choose good or choose evil, there's no in between. And when you choose God, man, he just makes your life that much better. And so, the angels of God are a key figure. They're a key element in the ministry of Jesus, especially in the beginning, as we read in Mark. And what did the angels come to do? I'm talking about the good angels, not the evil demons. Not the fallen ones that came with Lucifer. I'm talking about God's angels. What was their purpose? What was their plan? They came to what? Look at this. They came announcing Jesus' birth to Mary. Didn't the angel come? Number two, reassuring Joseph that she did not sleep with another man, but the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. The angel had to come himself. Can I get amen? And he couldn't fight that no more. The angels came, naming who Jesus, the name of Jesus. He says, and you shall call his name, what? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. The angels came, announcing Jesus' birth to the shepherds. You know what? Heaven proclaimed Jesus' birth to the common people. He didn't come to the palaces and the kings and the queens. He didn't go to the high governments. He came to these lowly shepherds that were tending sheep. That's who God is more interested in, is us, the common people. Can I get an amen? We're just common people. We're not seated in high places in government or status quo or multi-billionaires that don't need God. No, he came for you and I. We were just common people. Well, the angels came to the shepherds to proclaim that the Messiah has arrived. The angels came protecting Jesus by sending his family to Egypt. And the angels came ministering to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I didn't catch that midnight or that late to the Garden of Gethsemane. Did any of you guys make it? Oh, no one did, huh? You know, we were tired. I wish we would have went in the day, though. In the trips past, we would find an oak tree, and we would be teamed up, and we would just go and just spend a little time with God by an oak tree in the garden and just lift up the Lord. I missed that, but we didn't have an opportunity to do that. So from Jesus' temptation, we can learn that following our Lord can bring dangerous and intense spiritual battles. Did you know that? How many of you can honestly say that you've been in spiritual battles? What did I share with the leaders Sunday morning, before I brought the message Sunday? Sister Yolanda, she got up a lot earlier than I. She went and got, it was her duty to drive the bus. So she went and got gas and everything. And I was about ready to get up. And bam, I was pinned to my bed. Oh, that's happened to me I don't know how many times. One time, me and Sister Yolanda, we were up, and we were watching the late night news, and it was like a cat that jumped on our bed, and then we were both pinned. We couldn't even speak. And all we could do is call out in our mind, Jesus, Jesus. And man, as soon as those demons jumped off us, I got up like the hair on the back of a cat. I got up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rebuke you, Satan. And that entity left. Listen, when you're doing a work for God, they will come to buffet you. Oh, yeah. They come to harass you. They come to try to inflict fear on you. And I was pinned Sunday morning. And the last thing that my mind spoke out was Jesus. That thing left. I believe the angel came and rebuked it, and it was gone. But these are real. This is real. Oh, yeah. You know, when I would share with Sister Yolanda, you know, man, I got attacked. She would pray for me, but she goes, oh, you know, maybe you're having some old memories of back in the day or whatever. Uh-uh. Not when it happened to us at the same time. Oh, she understood that they were real now. We're in a battle. That's why it says put on the full armor of God, right? Right? Because we battle against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are real demons. And they don't come to be your friend. If they had permission, they would take you out. Because you're more of a threat to them than an unbeliever. Why? Because we have the truth. And we're chosen by God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so, we're going to continue this next week. I got a couple more scriptures, but it looks like we ran out of time tonight. And so, how many love this story? Come on, man. I'm telling you, when the Lord showed me at Mission Valley to preach the scriptures and do, it's called expository teaching. Man, I'm telling you, you could just keep going in the book, but you got to just say it's time. So we'll continue on with verse 14 next week. Amen. So let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. And Lord, I'm just praying, God, for those who are listening and those who you are calling, God. I pray, Lord, that you give them a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance. I'm praying for those who need deliverance. I'm praying for those, God, who need you tonight. And for those, Lord, that you are calling, I pray, Lord, that you would touch them. Give them a heart to turn to you, God. For no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. And Father, we're asking that you would draw men and women to you right now. And so, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, for those, Lord, who need you right now. And if that's you listening right now, maybe you're here tonight, I don't know what the case may be, but God is saying, pray this prayer. The prayer don't save you, but it's your faith in Jesus Christ that'll save you. And all you have to do is have the faith the size of a mustard seed. And God will do the miraculous in your life. So pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. And I repent of my sins. I ask you, Lord God, to cleanse me and wash me. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that was shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise and glory in the house. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy, worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.